Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sandy W. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 19th. We are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 72. We'll be reading the second paragraph, which begins, "This is perhaps difficult," and we'll be reading just through 10 lines, which ends with, "The best reason first, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking." So our comments will be just on those 10 lines. Let's see, so today's readers. So we have Rhonda R. reading the 12 steps, Terry H. reading the 12 traditions, and then our readers of the text are Kara L. She'll be reading those 10 lines on page 72. Barbara W. will be reading page 164 at the end of the meeting. And we have Shelley E., who's going to be our backup, just in case we need someone to fill in. And then we'll have Mary B. as our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. for announcements. Okay, reference numbers. So the reference numbers for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, July 18th, our ninth anniversary edition, that reference number is 17,378. 17378. And then the reference number for this morning's earlier meeting, Monday, July 19th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, that number is 17382. 17382. Okay, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for your service. I'm Rhonda R., gratefully recovering in Georgia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service today.
Oh, thank you, Rhonda R., for doing that service for us. Really appreciate it. Okay, so now I will ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Sandy, and thank you for your service. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or leading the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles beyond personality. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to serve. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you, Terry H. Thank you so much for doing that service. Okay, so how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two, or 10 lines, as we do today, from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. I will be timing, and I'll say time when those 3 minutes are up. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. So, again, today we'll be resuming our study in the Big Book. We are on page 72, the second paragraph, which begins, "This is perhaps difficult," and we're reading through 10 lines ending in, "If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking." So our comments will be on those 10 lines only. Okay, so I am going to ask Kara L. To begin reading. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is a doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal inefficient. Many of us thought it was necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reason why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Good morning. Again, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I'm going to start with the last line. The best reason. If I skip this vital step, I may not overcome compulsive overeating. For me today, that when I reworked my steps. And when I was doing my fourth step, I was like, God, just put it into my brain if it needs to be on this paper, and I will put down the smallest thing or the biggest thing. And keep in mind, I had done fourth steps before, fifth steps before. I had been fully heard, but this time I was just like, I am so done. I'm done with the compulsive overeating, and I will do anything. And so I'm not willing to skip this vital step, because I might not have overcome my compulsive overeating. I might not have what I have today. And I still, this still speaks to me. As I'm telling you right now, I can feel it in my whole body that when I revisit this in my program now in a 10th step, and that important piece of me calling another and having a loving, recovered person listen to me, it just, I don't know what it does, but it clicks something in so that I can be present with my higher power and so that I can clear the blockages in my path to my higher power. Because today I know that that's my answer. All the answers come to my higher power. And when I have a blockage today, I'm going to write this out. I'm gonna talk to somebody, because I need that, because I don't want to lose this connection that I've gotten. When I try to figure it out on my own, that solitary self-appraisal, that's when I'm in self. And so today, I'm just so grateful for this book. I'm so grateful for these steps. And I'm grateful for my fellows today that give me love, who have love and tolerance and kindness as their code. And I know I can pick up the phone for many of you and call you, and you will listen to me with love, tolerance, and kindness. With that, I pass, and I look forward to hearing from everybody else and learning from you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara L. We're grateful for you and for that service you just did for our meeting. Okay, so I just want to remind everyone that we value your experience. We just ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you would like to share on page 72, the second paragraph, the first 10 lines only of that paragraph, press star 1 and give me your name and first initial of your last name.
Shanna C.
Shanna.
Roz G.
Roz.
Kim H.
Kim. Anyone else want to get in this first lineup? Well, let's
Lynn.
Go ahead and get. Oh, go ahead, Lynn.
Yes, Lynn F. Thank you.
Lynn F. Okay, perfect. So we've got Shanna, Roz, Kim, and Lynn. And just make sure I got the last initials right. And if you'd like to give us your location so others can find you on the member contact list. Shanna C., go right ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. May I be heard? I'm in my car with Bluetooth.
Yes, yes, yes. No, you're coming through fine.
Great, great. All right. Thank you. This is Shanna C. from East Tennessee. Grateful, recovered compulsive eater through God's grace. And this paragraph couldn't be more true for me. This is a miracle for my life. And in fact, I was another person who had gone through the steps several times. And just a little bit of a backstory. I couldn't get and do this point, do this part of my recovery until I can fully see to my innermost self that I was a compulsive eater. And though I had done several four steps and different other programs before, there was some lingering notion in the back of my mind that somehow food wasn't as bad or wasn't as important or something, and that, you know, I don't know. And I didn't really believe I was a compulsive eater. I just thought I was somebody with issues that struggled with food as well. It wasn't a life and death thing for me. I didn't see how much it was consuming my mind my entire life and guiding my actions. It was unbelievable. The level of selfishness and self-centeredness and self-seeking and dishonesty I was still living in. And thankfully, when I say recovered through God's grace, that's the truth for me. glad he was patient and glad I was brought to A Vision for You. That way, on that day of desperation, I was able to pick up the phone and call somebody in here, and the timing worked out perfect. Was able to help me. She got me started in these steps and, you know, surrendered and gave my will and life to the care of God as I understood him, and made that decision to go through the rest of these steps and did that inventory. And by the time I got to step five, you know, I think the biggest hurdle I had with step five was just the fear of being wrong. I didn't want to face the fact that I had been wrong about, that the possibility that I could have been wrong about so many things, even though I had been in recovery for so long. And so, it again, even the fifth step was nowhere near as difficult or bad or painful as I had built it up in my mind to be. Grateful that the directions are clear and concise, and, you know, regardless of how I felt about it, the fact that I was given the willingness and the ability just to take the action on it, knowing that more will be revealed, but to do my very level best at the time, to get everything out and to really follow the directions here, you know, and God will take me to better things. I was having that willingness to believe that, that God, that my higher power, as I understand him, will take me to better things if I follow the directions and do this. Why? Because if I don't, I will eat again.
Time.
I will eat again. Thank you. No human power can save me from this, and this is how I'm able to tap into that power. Thank you so much for allowing me to share and for being here. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful Monday.
Oh, thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. Thanks very much for starting our sharing off again. Okay, so next up we have Roz G., followed by Kim H. Roz, good morning, and if you want to give us your location.
Good morning. I'm also in my
class. You started to come through, Roz, and then we lost you. I don't know if you need to press star one to unmute.
Hello? Yeah, I had, there was a little problem with the muting button.
Okay.
Thank you.
Coming through fine. Yes.
Okay, great. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Palmdale, California. And I just wanted to hone in on that. Thank you for everybody for your service and shares. On the phrase solitary self-appraisal. Boy, what a really elite way of saying I'm trying to figure things out by myself, and I screw off doing it. And I love to be able to be in my own head and, you know, figure out my food and decide how my behavior is and how it's going to be and how I think of things and how I'm going to react. And when I do that, I mess up. And yes, God gave me a brain to use, but thank God that this is a we program. And I need you. And every night I do a self-appraisal. I look at what I did during the daytime. And, you know, last night I was looking at my self-appraisal, and I was resentful towards my son for not taking the dog out to play. And the dishonesty was that I didn't ask him to do it. I'm not a mind reader. So when I do these self-appraisals, and I'm, you know, in touch, and I send it to somebody, and, you know, sometimes I get on the phone and I discuss these feelings with people. So when I'm doing that, I'm opening up myself for people who are not emotionally involved and can see things from an objectionable point of view, and I'm opening up myself to God, who is the ultimate wisdom of the universe, to lead me and guide me in the right direction. And the last fifth step I took was a couple of years ago. I feel like it wasn't, because I'm doing these steps every day. But the official one that I did showed me how deeply jealousy and envy and pride were a part of my, weaved into my being. And so I didn't see it that much, but really saw it. So today I think I know that I need a group appraisal and not a self appraisal. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Roz G. from California. Thanks so much for sharing with us. Okay, so next up we have Kim H., followed by Lynn F. Kim, good morning, and if you'd like to give us your location.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Kim, and I live on Singer Island, Florida. It's North Palm Beach County. And I love this paragraph. And I'm going to piggyback a little bit on what was just shared, because what stood out for me was the word solitary. Anytime I do anything in solitary, it usually means that my ego is running the show. And I believe for me that the way that I connect quickest to my higher power is when I am in spiritual communion with somebody else. And every single time that I need to apologize and I need to pass, they're doing like they're doing something here at my condo. So I'm going to have to pass now because they're doing something on the loudspeaker. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Kim H. from Florida, and hopefully you'll be back to share with us another day soon. Okay, Lynn F. I have as up next, and then I'll be able to take some more names. So, Lynn, go right ahead with your share and give us your location if you'd like.
Hi, my name is Lynn F., and I live in Squim, Washington, and I just wanted to call in this morning because today is my new start date. After over a year of having good abstinence and having a wonderful freedom from the food, I'm not really sure what happened, but listening to this paragraph, maybe it has to do with time to do another step 4 and 5. And a little bit of it is, I feel like it's kind of like the mighty fall hard. Because June 10th, I went on a weekend retreat with some people that I hadn't seen in several years, and some of them didn't even recognize me for the change from losing my weight. And it was amazing because there was every kind of trigger food, every kind of thing I used to love to binge on at the party, at the weekend, and I was a shining example of recovery for my friends, and they all wanted to know what I did and how I did it and everything, and I feel like maybe I took my will back, because hearing a lot this morning about how, you know, God has to be in there, and I think I put God aside and got a little bit into my own pride and my own ego is probably what happened, because a couple weeks later, I got back into the food. But what I really love about having had this experience is I really maybe wasn't completely convinced that I was a hopeless compulsive overeater. And when I get those alcoholic foods back in my body, especially sugar, I am lost. I am lost. I forget the ability to stop. I can't differentiate when I'm hungry or when I'm not. And I am lost in the food. And so today is day 1. And I have a lot of faith that I'm going to be fine, because my recovery was magical, beautiful, and fabulous. And I want it back. And that's all I have to say. And thank you so much for this line, all of you who do all your service for all of us. And I just thank you so much. Have a great day.
Oh, thank you, Lynn S. from Washington, and welcome back. It's great to have you back. Okay, so again, although we value everyone's experience, we just ask that you limit your shares to every third day so that everyone gets a chance to share their experience too. And we read page 72 today, the second paragraph that begins with, "This is perhaps difficult," and we read through 10 lines, ending with, "The best reason first, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking." And we're commenting on those 10 lines. So who else would like to comment on what was read today?
Liz S.
Liz?
Mo H.
Mo?
Deborah G.
Deborah? Anyone else for this lineup? I've got Liz, Mo, and Deborah.
Kathy Z.
Kathy. Okay, let's go with you four. Liz, Mo, Deborah, and Kathy. Liz S., I think it was S as in Sam. Just give us your location if you'd like, and then go right ahead with your share.
Hi, it's Liz S. from New Hampshire. And the first thing that strikes me in this section is self-appraisal. Whenever I get involved in any way with self, I'm usually not, I tend to get myself in trouble, or in this case, I'm not really looking at what's wrong, at what is really the bottom line, my core defects, mistakes I've made. And in turning that over to another person, what I get is the help needed to see these things, because by seeing them and understanding them and really having a knowledge of them, I can begin to change. The other thing I feel, too, is it's a very humbling step, which I can always use more humility in my life, but it is humbling. There were two occasions when I chose to turn over a few things to a priest because I felt that was the best option, and a few things to my psychiatrist. And I think it's perfectly all right to choose people outside a program if you know they will understand and that they may be the best thing person to hear a few things on one's fourth step. And that was the case for me. Otherwise, I've turned it over to a fellow, and I've never heard anything that I'm shocked by or appalled by or think is awful, especially where I come from with the food. So I just wanted to share that. For me, it's really, the fifth step is really, you know, it's giving up oneself and turning to another for help and understanding and very important knowledge. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Liz S. from New Hampshire. Thanks so much for sharing with us. Okay, so next up is Mo, followed by Deborah. Mo H., just give us your location and go right ahead. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Sandy, and thank you for your service. This is Mo H., and I spell it M-O. Some people look for me with other spellings, but that's it. And I'm from California, Walnut Creek. And welcome to all the newcomers for the first time here. I love this meeting. So this chapter is called Into Action, and I have a note here written to myself. It's not into thinking. It's into action. This is where we take action. And the first line that says, this is perhaps difficult. I remember the very first time that I had to share my food with somebody else, never told anybody about my food and my eating, how hard that was, because I grew up in a family where you didn't talk about anything, nothing, your food, your feelings, anything that, you know, don't share anything that goes on in this house. And it was very difficult the first time I had a slip, a relapse, to be honest with somebody, because I learned how to cheat and all of that. So, it, you know, it's difficult. And then my thinking got me where I was, you know, 60 to 65 pounds heavier than I am now. My best thinking. So I need someone else. I also need my higher power. I cannot do this program alone without my higher power being right by my side. And then, you know, so the solitary self-appraisal, it doesn't work. It does not work. And I've tried that many, many times. I cannot do this program alone. I need you. I need my higher power all the time. And so in this last line, that is a warning. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. It Bill was very wise in his writing. And I cannot skip this step. I cannot skip any step, to be honest with you. And I have to do them in order. I can't skip around doing the steps. They were written in order for a particular reason, because one builds on the other. So keeping everything to myself doesn't get me anywhere. I really need you. I need others. And when I'm really struggling, it is I'm very vulnerable to call someone and say, you know, I'm really having difficulty with this. Right now, I am struggling with one of my daughters who just doesn't want to connect with me. And I can't make her. I can't make her. All I can do is do my 10 steps on her and bless her, change me, and pray for her. So with that, I will pass. Thank you, Sandy.
Oh, thank you, Mo H. from California. Thanks so much for your share. Okay, so next up we have Deborah, followed by Kathy. Deborah G., if you want to give us your location, then go right ahead with your share.
Thank you so much for your chair. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you all for making this meeting possible and all the shares of everyone 12-stepping me this morning, and so many things resonated with me. And after Mo shared, I also was thinking previously to the experience that I had in step two, the concept of that power, and how today that power is a loving presence, and how when I do that fifth step, when I did the fifth step just recently in my step work, that presence, that loving presence is there in remembering that. And also looking at that I want to be free of the false self. That's all it is, getting free of the false self. And I can't get free of the false self by myself. So I really need, and I've had wonderful, wonderful people that have done fifth steps with me that have seen and are aware and can help me to see and become aware, you know, of things that I didn't see. You know, I remember this last time I did it, and she had written down some things when I had done it, and she had talked with me about those things using my words. You know, it was all about my experience, but she was able to put it in a different context using my words. And you know, I just want to be free, and I want to have that beautiful experience, that connectedness of living and resting in that loving presence, so that I can be free of any, you know, self, you know, stuff that's going on with me, so I can help other people, so I can be in the present moment and help others that are suffering, doing the same thing with them. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful journey, experience. And I'm so grateful that all of you are part of it, because I cannot do this alone. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Thanks so much for sharing with us today. Okay, so next up is Kathy Z., and then we'll have time for a few more shares. So, Kathy, if you want to give us your location, and then go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Kathy Z. from Washington State. Thank you so much, Sandy, for your service, and everyone for your wonderful shares. My self-appraisal from the time that I was a teenager, it was of self-pity and self-hatred. And I spent a lot of time in isolation and not wanting to reach out, because I just didn't think that I was worthy to reach out to other people. I did have a relationship with God where I really loved God, but yet I was still in this self-appraisal of pity and hatred, and it was crippling for many, many, many years. And then I had a life change. And that life change taught me how much God loved me. And that was a beautiful life change. But yet I was still in the self-appraisal of pity and hatred until I came into this program. And when I came into this program and started working the steps and came to set aside the relationship with God that I had before for a new relationship, then I came into a relationship of complete abandon to Him. And from that, starting to work these steps and do this, what I thought was going to be really difficult work, turned out to be work that taught me that I could recover that I could stop hating myself, that I could stop hurting myself with food, and that I could be honest in a safe place. And from that honesty, I'm learning to love myself the way that God wants me to love myself so that I can turn around and love other people. So I'm very grateful for my new relationship with God. I'm grateful that I can spend time with Him every day now, that I can trust Him in my life. I can trust what He's revealing to me. Even in the past, what He's revealed to me would have been uncomfortable. But now, what's being revealed to me is, Kathy, set aside your pride. Kathy, come and experience humility and my gifts as a result of that. And there's just this peace there. And I love my fellows, the encouragement that I receive, the safety that I feel when I call and do a 10th step, the ability to be honest is amazing. That honesty starts transformation. And I'm very, very grateful for that. So thank you, God, for this day. Thank you all for being here on this meeting. And I hope you have a blessed abstinent week. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Kathy Z from Washington. Thanks so much for sharing. Okay, so again, we value everyone's experience. We're just asking that you limit your shares to every third day so that everyone gets a chance to share their experience too. And we're on page 72. We read the second paragraph beginning with, "This is perhaps difficult." And we read through 10 lines ending in, "The best reason first, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking." So who else wants to comment on what was read today?
Sherry,
Carol F.
Okay, I think I heard a Sherry, and then I missed everything else.
Carol,
Evelyn T.
Carol and Evelyn. Okay, let's go with you three, and we'll see where we are with time. So I've got Sherry, Carol, and Evelyn. I did not get last initials, and also if you want to give us your location. So Sherry, go right ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Sherry H.M., recovered compulsive overeater from Mount Vernon, Washington. And I just love the last sentence we read. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. That means that I am going to sacrifice all my recovery if I choose to just do this with myself or do it in my own head. Because my higher power talks about, you know, confessing to each other so that, you know, we get free of it with God and with you know, not keeping it down, not keeping it sort of underwater, so to speak. And that will keep me into the cesspool of shame and out of the light of the Spirit. And then where will I go? I'll go back into the arms of my refrigerator, which doesn't always end well. It never ends well. So I'm just so very grateful that we have these into action, these steps. And for this one, I found that my person that I shared with each time, they didn't die. They didn't even fall off their chair. So they're all still alive. So anyway, there's a lot of freedom. So thank you so much for your service. And I pass.
Oh, thank you, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, so next up we have Carol followed by Evelyn. Carol, if you can give us your last initial and your location and then go right ahead.
Yes, this is Carol F. as in Frank from Maryland.
Okay, great, Carol.
Okay.
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
Okay. I'm very grateful to be on the line today. I'm Carol F., compulsive overeater, food addict in recovery from Maryland. And, you know, they say we are as sick as our secrets. And I had a lot of secrets. And this step five, gives me a voice. And my voice was silenced back when I was about 3-4 years old. And I got tired of being beat up, kicked, knocked down, almost murdered by the food. And I really wanted freedom. I want freedom every day. I, you know, don't have a lot of life to continue to live. I'm 74, and I want the remainder of my years to be free from food and being beat up and mangled by my character defects and behaviors. And I want to say that I had to pray and ask my higher power to help me to do step 5. I have to pray and ask higher power to help me to do step 10. And my higher power sent me a compassionate, understanding, non-judgmental sponsor to take all of my inventory, or rather to hear my 5th step. And didn't judge me, and I didn't feel like I was, you know, a bad person. So really, that's pretty much what I want to say, is that, you know, I had to do it to get rid of the, you know, it's like getting rid of cancer. You got to get rid of the whole root, or the cancer comes back. And I didn't want to pick up again. So I'm going to keep coming back, and thank you for letting me share today.
Oh, thank you, Carol F. from Maryland. And yes, we're grateful to have you share and to keep coming back. Okay, so now we'll have Evelyn, and then we'll have time for at least one or two more shares. Evelyn, I just need your last initial and your location.
My name is Evelyn T., and I am from Michigan. And I'm happy to be on the line. This is the first time I've ever shared with a vision. I'm new to the program, but I'm not new to OA. And I just wanted to share that I had been abstinent for over 10 years. I was a sponsor. I was a motivator. I spoke to at group meetings. And never in a million years could I have seen myself as losing my abstinence. But I did. And I lost my abstinence over a piece of peppermint candy. And it happened so subtly. And it happened so quickly. And yet, I think I had been thinking about it all the time. I was somewhere and I developed a cough, and somebody offered me a piece of peppermint candy. And that through that piece of peppermint candy, slowly, I just began to get back into the food. But because I had been in the program for as long as I had, and because I had been looked up to, I got to resting on my laurels. And what I have now learned is that this truly is a baffling, cunning disease, and that we have to be on our guard, because here I am now 30 pounds heavier than I have been in years, and I find myself battling my way back. And so I just wanted to share for all of us who, quote, think we have arrived. Don't be like me and lose your abstinence over a piece of peppermint candy. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Evelyn T. from Michigan. Thanks so much for sharing. Great to have you on the line. Okay, so we should have time for probably two more shares. Who else wants to come on page 72, the second paragraph, the first 10 lines?
Liz A.
Christian
B. Liz A. and Christian. Okay, and then we'll see where we're at. Liz A., just give us your location if you'd like, and then go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Liz A. from Michigan, and I desperately need to be here today. Boy, that solitary self-appraisal. I've been in program since 1986, and I have never left. But I tell you what, I am emotionally walking away, and the last couple days with the vision has just been a wake-up call for me, because, and I don't need to go in this saga, but I went through some pretty horrific familial abuse when my father died, but I can no longer use that as a stumbling block. And I can no longer use that to isolate. I have heard years ago that I am not one bite away from a binge. I am 12 steps. And that is, my program is unraveling, and I'm listening to you all, and I'm just like, God, I got to get over this, but I can't do it alone. My reprieve is running out. I haven't picked up the food, but, you know, it got sloppy a couple weeks ago, and I just need to open my heart again to people in the program and trust the process. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Liz A. from Michigan. Thanks so much for sharing. And now, Christian, I think it was Christian Z, as in zebra, if you want to give us your location, and you've got just about 2.5 minutes. Go right ahead.
Thank you. So this paragraph is explaining to us about, you know, the fifth step, right, which is where we talk to someone else about the personal inventory we've made. And basically, you know, there are things that we've done as compulsive eaters that are causing us problems, whether we know it or not. So, you know, this isn't like a process of trying to make ourselves feel bad about the things we've done or, you know, the people we've hurt. But it's about being honest, you know, really getting to the down to the nitty gritty and sharing with someone else all these things that are going on in our life. And we do this with an understanding person, right? We do this with someone who has a similar experience or who we can trust with this information. Because if we try to keep it to ourselves, like it's saying, if we think that we can skirt by and just say, oh, you know I did these really nasty, harmful things, but admitting that I did something harmful, say stealing or, you know, using someone else sexually or yelling at people and being verbally abusive or whatever, we can say those are bad, things that are wrongful. But it's not enough. You know, it's not enough just to admit that those things are a problem. We really have to sit down and look at them and be like, what is going on that we are treating people this way or using people this way? Or maybe even our fears, like why are we so afraid of something? And, you know, admitting it is really just part of it. So we try to sneak by and think that, oh, I can just brush up and just lightly touch on these subjects, that'll be enough. It's actually not the case. We really have to go in, dig in deep, and tell someone else all the stuff that's been going on. Unless we're ready to face it and to have it out and to bring it to light, then we're holding on to our secrets, right? Like, you're only as sick as your secrets. And that'll keep us sick if we are not willing to tell somebody else our dark past. But if we do, if we bring these things to light and we talk about it, and even if it makes us uncomfortable, well, then that stumbling block's out of the way, right? I mean, they're saying this is so important that if we skimp out on any of this, it's going to cause us everything else to fall apart. So they're saying that this is incredibly important to face our past. And if we do it, then we're on the step to recovery and getting better. But we have to be willing to really dig in and tell someone else all these things, not just things that we feel like talking about. Thanks for letting me share. Can I leave contact info, or is that later?
Yes, that's later. Thanks, Christian. Did you want to leave us your state, and people can look you up on the member contact list?
Sure. Yeah, New York.
New York. Okay, great. Thanks, Christian. Again, you will be our last share for today. And now we're going to close, as we always do, with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Barbara W. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. Good morning, OA family, and thank you for your service. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.